Good morning. If we haven't met before, my name is Lori, and I count it a privilege to dive into the Word with you this morning and share this time together. So I'm going to kick us off with a question. Raise your hand nice and high if you have ever heard of or maybe even said the phrase, "I can trust him as far as I can throw him." Yeah, many of you, and me too. And let's face it, what that boils down to is this. You and I really can't throw another fully grown person any further than straight down. So what we're really saying is I don't trust him at all, right? Or how about you kids and students in the room today? Raise your hands nice and high if you have ever heard of or maybe ever done an exercise called the trust fall. Have you ever done that? Even some adults are raising their hands. You guys know what a trust fall is, right? It's when you have a friend, preferably a good one, standing behind you, right? And you sometimes are blindfolded, sometimes not, but you cross your arms over your chest, and the idea is to fall straight back, trusting that that friend is going to catch you. It's fantastic, unless you do it wrong. Have you ever seen trust fall fails on YouTube? You guys have to Google this later. It is painfully funny to watch. What happens is you'll find both kids and adults, they have their friend silently positioned behind them. They have their blindfolds on and their arms are crossed over their chest, and there is just one problem. They fall forward, flat on their faces. I'm not even kidding. It is painfully funny to watch. You know, It's really kind of hard sometimes to trust someone when you can see them or you know they're right behind you to catch you. But what happens in our trust with God when something unexpected happens? When you fail a really important exam or someone you know and love hears the words, "I'm sorry, you have cancer." Or when you leave work for the very last time, unexpectedly, because you lost your job. My husband Dennis and I are in a season of unexpected change right now, and it's testing our trust. And so we're going to talk about that word today, that simple yet really hard sometimes to live out word. And I imagine that we're not alone. Chances are you are in a season right now, or you have been in a season, or I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if it's neither one of those two, it's probably coming, because that's life, right? So we're going to talk about that word today, trust, and what that means. But before we do that, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, that we can come and gather together to learn from you, your word. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come now, move powerfully among us. Give us the courage and the inspiration and the wisdom to know you and trust you more. And everyone said, amen. All right, well, we're going to be diving into Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. We'll have it on the screens, and I also just want to invite you to pull it up on your device or in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. And while some of you do that, I want to talk about these ancient words a minute and what they mean to me. I really believe that they are living, lasting, and life-changing. They're living. That means they are God-breathed. They are useful for teaching and correcting and training in righteousness. They're living and they're lasting. Isaiah 40 says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord, it stands forever. And they're life-changing. This book has changed my life. You know, God is immutable. That means that he never changes, but he is always doing a change, a transformation, a new work in us. That's his desire anyways. He wants us to be transformed more and more into the likeness of his son, Jesus. And so I just want to I want to challenge you to be open to what God might be saying to you today as individuals. He knows you, each and every one of you. He knows what you're going through right now, if you're in a good season or a tough season. He knows every hair or lack thereof on your head. He knows you. And do you know what I love about our Lord is that there is nothing that you and I could do that's good or bad that would make him love us any more or any less. That is our God. So I want to challenge you just to be open to what God might be saying, not because of anything genius that I would say. I'm not that smart. But because we've invited the Holy Spirit in to minister to us. And we just sang about his faithfulness, didn't we? Yeah, so let's dive in. What I would love to do is talk a little bit about the book of Proverbs, the author first. And in order to do that, it's Christmas break. I thought it would be fun to invite the kids up. So if you're one of the kids in the room today, why don't you come on up and join me, okay? Don't be shy. Come on up. There might be a little something for you afterwards, too. We'll see. I think I heard somebody had Smarties. Come on over. How you doing, Mackenzie? Good. Just go ahead and take a seat, guys. How was your Christmas? Oh, you're going to all face your moms and dads? Everybody wave. Hi, Malachi. You want to come sit by me? Awesome. Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Good. Raise your hand if you've gone sledding.
I did.
You did? Awesome. Well, I'm so glad you guys came up here to join me because we are going to have a really good time today reading about this book. What do I have here? The Bible, yeah. And we're going to be reading in the book of Proverbs. Now, there's a couple really special things about this book. The book of Proverbs was written by a man named Solomon. Can you guys say Solomon?
Solomon.
Now, what's really special about Solomon, I think, is a couple of things. And one of them is that his dad's name was David. And you might know him. That's your name? That's so cool. David was a shepherd boy. And you guys might know this story, and actually some of your parents and adults out here might too. This fall, we did a series called Giants, where we talked about the shepherd boy named David. And he took a sling and a stone, and he did something with it. Do you have any ideas? Do you know David? Yes, he threw it at the forehead of a what? Who was it? A giant. That's right. He slayed a giant named Goliath. You guys are familiar with the story, some of you. Awesome. Well, later, shepherd boy David became king of Israel. Everybody put a king on their crown on their head. Whoa, good job. Yeah. Later that happened. And then he married a woman named Bathsheba. That's kind of a silly name. Would you like that name? No, especially if you're a boy. Bathsheba. Well, that's another juicy story for another time. I'll let your moms and dads tell you. But what's really cool is that he and Bathsheba had a son named Solomon. And one night, King David was getting old, and he was starting to get weak and tired. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he was lying in his bed just trying to keep warm. I like your shirt a lot. That's really pretty. He was trying to keep warm, and you know what happened? They decided that it was time to anoint a new king. And so at that time, they anointed his son Solomon to be the next king. Now, if you fast forward a little bit, this is the really special part about the story. When Solomon was king, God appeared to him in a dream. Do you guys have dreams? Sometimes, yeah. Well, God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and this is what he said to Solomon. Listen close. He said, "Ask me for whatever you want me to give you." Whoa. What would you say if God said that to you? Hey, Easton, ask me for whatever you want. What would you say? A toy? Yeah. What else? Give me a couple answers. What do you? $1,000,000,000? That's. I could go for that. Anybody else? A what? Sparkly shoes? Yeah. Well, you know what? Solomon did not ask for sparkly shoes, and he did not ask for hundreds and millions and trillions of dollars. He asked for wisdom. He said, "Give me wisdom." And God was so pleased with Solomon's desire for wisdom, that guess what? he gave him a ton of wisdom and a whole bunch of money. He made him very, very rich because he was so pleased with his desire to be a wise king. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? And so Solomon later wrote three books of the Bible, and one of them is the book of Proverbs that we're going to read about. It's a book of fables and wisdom for life. And so that's what we're going to be reading today. So thank you so much for coming down. I have a little treat for you before you go. If you stop by Pastor Greg or Mr. Brett and Miss Hannah, grab a pack of Smarties and then get your Bibles out and we'll keep reading, okay? Let's give these kids a hand for having the courage to come up. Everybody back, safe and sound? Looking good. All right, let's dive in. Let's look at Proverbs 3, starting with verse 1. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." What he's referring here is God's law, the Hebrew Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. And he's saying, don't forget this. Don't forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Don't miss this peace that he's offering. You know, so often we can let fear and anxiety sneak in and just consume us, paralyze us even. But it is his teaching and his promises and his teaching, they bring peace and prosperity. He goes on and says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." Another word for faith is trust. And as I was doing some research on this, this past couple of weeks, I found something interesting. I found that the Old Testament writers used seven different words that all had different nuances to the word trust. And what we see in the New Testament is that all of those meanings were encompassed into one Hebrew word. That Hebrew word is called pistis. It means faith. Faith means in every way to trust. And he's saying, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Now, this does not mean that you all have to wear gold cross necklaces. No offense if you're wearing a gold cross necklace. I'm sure it's great. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, let love and faithfulness bring beauty and honor to your life. Wear it around your neck. Bind this around your neck. And write them on the tablet of your heart. That's kind of an abstract statement, but what he means here is to internalize it. So we've talked about what to wear on the exterior. Wear this love and faithfulness. Bind it around your neck like a beautiful necklace. Wear it out here, but then go in. Write it in the tablet of your heart. Internalize it. You know, we see something very similar to those words in Deuteronomy 6. If you want to turn with me there, you're welcome to. Some of you may be familiar with this passage. Many know it as the Shema. It's where Moses, who has traveled through the desert with the Israelites, they're finally to a place after 40 years of entering into the promised land. And Moses says these words to the people. Shema, it means to listen and to obey. So he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today," here it is, "are to be upon your hearts. They're to be internalized. And impress them on your children. Talk about them when you walk along the road and when you sit down and when you get up and when you're in the minivan and when you're headed to the grocery store." I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what he's saying. He's saying, use these everyday rhythms to impress these truths on your children. That's what he's talking about. So write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Now verses 5 and 6, And kind of a fun fact, these two verses are actually in the top 25 most quoted, most memorized verses in all of Scripture. Why don't you read them nice and loud with me? There we go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Nice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He doesn't say, trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart, or trust in the Lord with most of your heart. No, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. These lines right here mess with me a little bit. I don't know about you, but something stirs in me and causes some tension in me with this, because there are times in life when things just do not make sense. You can't make sense of them. And I'm a fixer. I like to fix things, and I like to fix things fast. Any other fixers out there? Maybe a couple of you, if you're willing to admit it, yeah? You know what we do then. We tend to lean on our own wisdom, our own understanding, instead of going directly to His Word or directly to prayer right away. We have our plans on how things are going to go, and when something unexpected happens, it's like the rug is just pulled right out from under us, and it rocks us to the core. I know some of you, I'm friends with some of you, and I know your stories, and you cannot make sense out of some of your stories. Why? Why did this happen? Why is this happening? Why is it that my married friend who wants so much to start a family can't get pregnant, and yet there's teenage girls that are having babies that don't want children right now? I can't make sense of that. Why is it that out of your three grown adult children that you've loved and you've raised all the same way, one of them has decided to walk away from the faith? You can't make sense of that. Why is it that my friend's grandson, who's all of 7 years old, has been fighting cancer for the last 12 months, suffering more than any child should? Why is that? Why did these things happen? You know what I find incredible is even when we can't make sense out of things, He remains. Even when we can't make sense out of something, what that does is it sets us up for an incredible opportunity for growth. Nothing, and I mean nothing, strengthens us more and sharpens our faith more than trials. So He's reminding us, lean not on your own understanding. But hold on, because I love what it tells us next. It tells us what we can do. It says that we can. He says, submit in all your ways. Submit to Him. Now, that word submit can make people feel uneasy too, right? But remember the context we're in. We're talking about submitting to, yielding to our Heavenly Father. We're talking about submitting to Him and acknowledging Him. And I want to just encourage you to think about taking that a step further. And what would it look like to do that out loud? I want to share another verse with you. It's Romans 10:17. And it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Faith, meaning trust, it comes from hearing. Audibly hearing. Hearing from what? This living, lasting, and life-changing Word. So what would it look like the next time that you have a challenge, an unexpected change in your life, or maybe even just a big decision? What would it look like for you to acknowledge Him out loud? What would it look like for you to just say, God, I don't get what's happening here. I don't see the whole picture in light of eternity like you do, but you tell me to trust you with all my heart and to lean not on my own understanding and in all my ways to submit to acknowledge you. And so that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to acknowledge who you are. God, you are sovereign. You are omnipresent. You are omniscient. Your knowledge is full and complete. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are greater than my ways. Your plans, no matter how messed up I think they feel right now, they are perfect. And I cling to the promise that you work all things out for the good of those who love you, because you reign. You are sovereign. You are my strength and my shield. You are my rock and my rescuer. You are everything to me. There is not a place that I will go where you have not already stood. You are able. You are faithful. You promise to never leave me or forsake me. You promise me that when I walk through the fire, the most challenging of times, I will not be burned, for you are the Lord my God, the Holy One of Israel, my Savior. You are my wonderful counselor, my everlasting Father, my mighty God, and my Prince of Peace, and I look to you. I acknowledge you. He's a good Father. We can trust him. And what's incredible is the peace that we can experience, even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of us not understanding. Romans 15:13 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." This God of hope, when we put our trust in him, he fills us with joy and peace. He's reminding us, Solomon, in Proverbs, lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Submit to, yield to, acknowledge him. And lastly, he will make your path straight. It's through his word. It's through other believers. It's through prayer that God makes his path, his purpose, known to us. And it's been my experience, I don't know about you, but in my experience, you don't gain clarity by standing still. You just don't. You gain clarity by pressing in and pressing forward and taking that next faithful step. And he is so faithful to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's who he is. He's a good father. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. So what does it look like to love the Lord and trust the Lord with all your heart? One of my favorite teachers, besides Pastor Greg, Pastor Jeremy, is Francis Chan. And one of the reasons that I love his teaching so much is because of his great illustrations and just memorable stories that he shares. And I want to share one with you that I will never forget. Several years ago, he jumped on stage at a weekend service with a balloon like this one and a Red Ryder BB gun. I decided to leave the gun at home. Church rules with guns and everything, but I'm sure you'll get the idea. All right, so he jumps on stage, he sets the balloon aside, and he asks his congregation this question. He says, "How many of you believe that I can shoot this balloon from across the stage?" About 60% of the congregation raised their hand. Then he asked this question, "Okay, how many of you believe, I mean trust, really trust, that I can hit this balloon, that you're willing to hold it at arm's length?" That number went down significantly. About 20 people raised their hand. And then he asked the question, "How many of you trust, I mean really have faith, that I can hit this balloon, that you're willing to come up here on this stage and put it between your teeth?" One man raised his hand. And Francis, though he had no intention of pulling the trigger, Francis thought, I'll make the guy a little nervous, right? I mean, he had a real red rubber BB gun with him. So he met the guy halfway down the stage, pulled him up, had him sign a couple liability releases, kind of had him going. Got him positioned on one end of the stage, grabbed his Red Ryder BB gun, got to the other end of the stage, and he drew his gun, and that's when he had the thought, I could actually shoot this thing. So he pulled the trigger, popped the balloon. The congregation did not applaud. The congregation gasped. And the consistory members had a little chat with Francis after the service, and needless to say, he did not pull the trigger after, you know, those following two Sunday morning services. But the reason I share that story with you is because of the powerful question he asked afterwards. He said, who really trusted? Was it the 60% that raised their hand and believed I could shoot it from across the stage? Was it the 20 that believed I could shoot it and they were willing to hold it at arm's length? Or was it the one who was willing to come up and stick that balloon between his teeth and put that trust, that faith into action? I imagine that we're all in this story somewhere, right? Where would you put yourself? What level of trust? There's four, really. There's the three that I mentioned, and then don't forget, there's about 40% that never raised their hand at all. Now, don't be sitting here and letting guilt and shame kind of leak in and going, oh, man, I'm here, but I should really be here, or I'm here and I should really be here. That's not what this is about. That's not what this is about at all. God is so patient and so kind. I just wonder where he might be asking you to trust him more. For Dennis and I, it's deciding to trust him in this unexpected season with our finances and our future career. Maybe it's one or both of those for you too. Maybe it's trusting him with your marriage or your future family or some upcoming medical tests. Or maybe for you students, it's trusting him with who you're going to sit with in the cafeteria, because that can be a terrifying place. Or you college students who just graduated this December or are graduating this spring, trusting him with your next steps. Where is God leading you next, now that all you've known for 4 or 5 years is this? I don't know. I don't know what it is that God's asking you as individuals to trust him more with. But I just challenge you to think about what is it that if you're not already at a balloon in your teeth kind of faith, what's that next step that you could take? Because when we trust him with all our heart and acknowledge who he is, we are filled with joy and peace. And that's his desire for us, to have an abundant life. It's my desire for us as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to experience your peace, your abundant life, and we know that comes through trusting you with all our hearts. So give us wisdom and courage to take that next step in trusting you. Maybe for some here today, it's putting their trust into you for the very first time and just saying, God, I don't know the whole Bible yet. I don't even know half of these stories, but I know that you love me. I know that you sent your son to take the punishment for my wrongdoing, and I'm choosing to put my trust in you today. Maybe for others, it's taking that next step of holding a little looser to your plan and trusting God for his best for you, because he is sovereign. meet us where we are, God, and we ask that you would blow us away with blessing and joy and peace as we do that. You are a trustworthy, good Father. And we thank you for loving us so deeply. In Jesus' name, amen.